studying today. So back then, the Holy Spirit worked in a very unique way. He had prophets that He would raise up with the Word of God, things that He would put on their hearts to say to the people. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 8, it says, "Therefore it says, when He ascended on high, He led captive a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men." Okay, well, turn your Bibles back to Psalm 68, verse 18. We're going to see what He's talking about here. Psalm 68, 18. And let's see. Where's Madison? Madison, Harrison, and Carson. I need your help. And you guys can just line up back there in the back and assume the position that we talked about. Here in Psalm 68:18, it says, "You have ascended on high, you have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there." Okay, a lot of times, theologically, this verse is looked at, this is where Jesus went down and He led the captives out of paradise. Well, I don't think that's the case. What you've got to understand about this whole scenario is, this is a picture of what would go on in early years with kings. Okay, a king would go in and he would conquer a nation. He would go in there and he would lay hold of them. He and his soldiers would go in. And so here we have some captives, if you will. Handcuffed captives. Right? Put it on the long faces. Okay? I'm a king. Okay? They are my captives. And so, come on in behind me. I'm walking in. "Hey, how you doing? I'm the king. I've just conquered these people. I'm very powerful. Hey, thank you very much for your taxes. And I'm the king." Okay? And these are my captives. Okay? Now stand over here to the side. Now you're no longer captives, you're soldiers. Okay? As the king would come in with his captives, he would come in and he would be victorious. And they would throw the, you know, rose petals, and they would be so enamored with this king who had greatly conquered his foes. But then that king, if he was a good king, a righteous king, would turn to those who were soldiers who worked with him to conquer those foes. And he would give gifts to them. This was a common practice back then, so that when a king was victorious, he would reward those who were greatly successful in helping him. Remember David's mighty men? Thank you, kids. You can go sit down. Remember David's mighty men? They had various positions of authority within David's kingdom. You look at Joab, probably one of the greatest mighty men that David had. He was over all the armies of Israel. Very powerful man. But he had served David well, and so God, through David, blessed Joab by putting him as the head of the armies. And so those people, as he would give them gifts, some it was gold, some it was silver, sometimes it was jewels, many times it was authority. If he knew that this man was willing to die for him in battle, he knew that he could put him over a province and he would rule effectively. Especially if he was capable of leading men and having leadership, those kind of things he would put to work there through that man in that province, and he would be well taken care of. So we need to understand that's what this passage is talking about. And that's what Paul's talking about. Well, if he's talking about Jesus, which he is, that he led captive a host of captives. So turn back over to Ephesians chapter 4. Who were these captives that he led captive? It says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives. Well, I submit to you that it is none other than Satan and his rulership. Okay, when Jesus said in Matthew 28, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." Okay, well, remember back when Satan came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness? And he said, all this kingdom that I have, I will give it to you if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth." Because it had not yet. But when he overcame and he ascended on high right here, he had it. Because he overcame by being obedient to his Father. So here, Jesus was obediently following the will of his Father. I mean, Jesus could have said to Satan, "Hey, pal, I created this." In the same way that David, on several occasions, had the opportunity to take the throne from King Saul. But he did not. Because David knew that God's timing was perfect. And God's rulership, although unjust and unloving and unholy, like Saul was. God had anointed him as king and had a time period that needed to be accomplished. Jesus Christ, in the very same way, recognizing that he would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, recognized Satan's authority at this time over the earth, at that time, when he was tempted with him in the wilderness. But here now, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, that's very obvious. All means all. Okay, so this is who he's talking about. He's not talking about freeing some people trapped in a cage. He's not talking about taking a bunch of people who had been kept captive by the enemy. He's talking about going in and leading captives out, ones that he conquered, because they were his captives. So that's what he's talking about here, just like a king would in those early days. And then the next step is he gave gifts to men. Turn over to Colossians 2:15. We're going to see just what we just did with the children. Colossians 2:15. It says, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him or through himself. It's what we just did. We just walked in, and many times when the conquering king would come in, he would bring with him those that he conquered. They would be chained and shackled, and they would come in behind him. And it was a picture not only of the plunder, he would plunder the land and he would bring gold and whatever they had, but he would also bring those slaves. A part of it was making a public spectacle of them by bringing them in and showing that he had conquered them. Well, that's what he's talking about here. He brought them in and he made a public spectacle of them. Okay? So we need to understand that Jesus Christ is a victorious prince. He ushers in peace because he is victorious. There's absolutely nothing that Satan can do. He's trying, hard as he can, to stir things up, but the finish is set. Satan's defeated. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. If that was the end of it, I mean, that'd be a great story. But there's more to it than just that. Turn back in your Bibles to John chapter 16. Because there was a very specific purpose for the way things were accomplished. We saw in Ephesians 4:8 that he not only led a host of captives, but he gave gifts to men. So let's look at John 16 and see what is there for us. Verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus had a very specific reason for going. He told the disciples that it's better for you if I do go. While Jesus was here on the earth, he had the ability to be in a single place at a time. He was constrained by the physical body that he was in. Couldn't be in all places at all times. But if he left and asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to us, then that Holy Spirit could work through the hearts of believers all places at all times. So he had a very specific reason for doing that. And so he told his disciples there. And we're going to go back into John. You can kind of keep your finger there. But we're going to go back into there in a minute to see some of the power that's associated there. But really, we need to understand that Jesus left and ascended on high so that he could send us the Holy Spirit. And all these spiritual gifts that we're going to be talking about in the weeks ahead are rooted in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do any of it in your own strength. You can create false appearances of gifts. You can do things that look like they're a gift. You can seem to be kind. You can seem to be loving. You can seem to be patient. But the reality of it is, the truth of it is not there. There's no power in it. Because if there was power in it, the power is to sustain it continuously. When you're experiencing perfect love for somebody, and you're continually pouring out that unconditional agape love for that person, it doesn't stop. A sure sign that you're doing it in your own strength is when it does stop, or when your strength gets in the middle of it, it does stop because there's sin in your life, and it can't continue to function that way. The Holy Spirit needs us to be empty vessels so that He can fill us up. And this is this great gift. This is this valuable presentation that the Lord has given to us through His Holy Spirit. Flip over to James chapter 1. Right after Hebrews. Hebrews, James. James chapter 1. In In chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Remember, Jesus said, "When I go, I'm going to ask my Father to send you another Comforter." So Jesus was comforting to them while he was with them. But he was going to ask the Father to send them another Comforter. And this other Comforter, the Holy Spirit, was going to come and make available to them a host of things. That doorway coming to these men enabled God's power to be poured out into their lives, provided that they were empty of themselves. The Holy Spirit talks about how you're not going to put new wine in old wineskins. No, you got to take the old and depart with it, just like putting off the old man. You got to say, "Okay, I'm going to go get this new wineskin." You get the new wineskin and he pours it into it. God says, "I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to take away this heart of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh." It's all about done with the old, in with the new. And we cannot experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit if we are struggling with sin in our lives. He doesn't cohabitate. It just doesn't work that way. We've got to put to death those deeds of our body, and then we have to put on the new man. We cannot exercise the gifts of the Spirit unless we are working in the power of the Spirit through a yielded life. We just can't. So we see that we've got a victorious prince. He's conquered. He's won. And he has ascended on high. All authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. He's asked the Father, "Father, send them the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit has been sent to the earth to come to us, to enable us to have these things. It won't come to a sinful body. So then what are these gifts? What are the purposes for these gifts? Why does he give these things to us? There's a very specific reason. Many reasons. In Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13, it says, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers." And here's why. "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." That was his intention. These spiritual gifts are given so that we will exercise them within the body of Christ and benefit one another. With the children, we were talking this morning about the way that our bodies work. And our body is a picture of the church. It says the church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is what we make up. You got a hand, you got a foot. And I ask the children, "How much walking have you done on your hands?" "Not much." "How much breathing or sniffing have you done with your eyeball?" Well, they laugh at what? Not much. Because your body wasn't created, that eyeball was not created to smell. That hand was not created to walk. People can walk on their hands, but if they spend much time doing it, their hands will become crippled because their hands are not designed to handle the weight. God designed our body in a very specific way. And so every single piece must function together. We talked about in a home, just as an example, if you gave one person the ability to make money and another person the ability to cook and another person the ability to clean, if the person who has the ability to clean doesn't have the person that has the ability to make money, there's no food and no plates. As Harrison said, there's nothing to wash. That's right. But there's nothing in your stomach to fill you when you're hungry because there's no money. Everything has a fit and has a purpose. And in the body of Christ, when you have Christians who have been given gifts from the Lord and they choose not to use them, they lose them. There's a story years ago back in Reader's Digest about a flock of seagulls in St. Augustine that was dying. And what they determined was this flock of seagulls had lived so dependent on a shrimping company that had been down there and it was feeding on the scraps of the shrimp that were there, that when the shrimping company left St. Augustine and went down to the Keys to relocate its business, the seagulls had forgotten how to fish. And so they starved to death. And if we don't put to work these things in our lives, then we're going to do the same kind of things. We're going to either use it or lose it. We've heard that term used in our society, but the reality of it is, you take a look at the parable of the talents and how Jesus says to the one who had one and didn't produce anything, he buried it in the dirt. when he gives it back to him, Jesus takes it and gives it to the one that already had 10. Showing that there's responsibility that's required. If he gives you a gift, you need to put it to work in your life. If you don't put it to work in your life, two things happen. One, you lose it. Two, the body of Christ is hindered. Hindered from what? Well, it says, until we attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. A person within the church that doesn't exercise their spiritual gifts, whatever it may be, gifts and talents that God has given them, they hinder the body of Christ from being all that God wants it to be. Now, is God thwarted? Absolutely not. They'll lose it, and God will give it up to somebody else. He'll raise up someone within the midst to meet that specific need. He's not hindered by our disobedience. He will absolutely raise up somebody else. But the reality of it is we've got to put those things to work in our lives. And we've got to identify that these gifts that we have come from God. We've got to know that. We've got to identify them first and foremost. Here's what I'm gifted in. And I think next week I'm going to bring just a piece of paper that's going to have some spiritual gifts testing. And you can take it home and you can write it down. And I'll get with you individually as to the results and the things that are strengths for you within your own life. And then that's between you and the Lord. There won't be any pressure. Hey, you've got the gift of what or this or that. I'm not going to pressure you to do anything, but you'll know what you're good at. You know, you'll know, well, that makes sense as to why I've been doing such and such or why I say this and that, because you'll understand that God's given me a gift in that area. And then it's between you and the Lord as to whether or not you use it and or lose it. A pianist was once quoted by saying, if I don't practice every day, I lose something. Said, if I don't practice one day, I can tell the difference. But if I don't practice for 2 days, those that listen to me can tell the difference. And the reality of it is we have to be doing this every day. We have to be putting the Word of God into our hearts. We've got to be sowing it down deep so that when someone comes into our pathway, we bear good fruit before them, that we show love or we show kindness or that we're patient with those who are challenging to us, so that we listen to the Lord and we do exactly what He wants us to do. It's not going in and saying, okay, I'm going to bear this fruit today. No. You abide in Christ, and the Holy Spirit does it. Remember, He said, I'm going to send this other comforter. It's the Holy Spirit that comes, and really it's the grace of God poured out individually. It says in verse 7 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Well, how much? It differs. More grace for one, less grace for another. If this person is so obedient and abiding in Christ, you know, which branches get the most sap from the vine? The ones that are the most yielded to the vine. If a branch keeps pulling away and kinking its limb and getting down in the dirt and it doesn't stay abiding in the vine, it's not going to get the sap that it's going to need. And that sap is the power of the Holy Spirit pouring through us. I told you we'd go back over to John. Look back over at John 16, verses 8 through 11. This talks about the Spirit and what the Spirit is to do when He comes. And when He comes, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. They're not actively believing. Their belief is not resulting in obedience. Okay? Because they do not believe in Me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see Me. That Holy Spirit shows you that the picture of righteousness is the guy whose banner is hanging behind us. Jesus Christ is the picture of righteousness. And His righteous life was the reason that He went to see the Father. Remember, Enoch obtained that testimony that while he was here, he was pleasing to God and God took him. Paul says, I want to know the power of Christ's resurrection. I want to know the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. They wanted to know the righteous life that was modeled by Christ. And so, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see Me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world with a little g. We know that he right now is exercising temporary authority over this world. But his temporary authority is subject to Christ's supreme authority. He can't do anything that the Lord doesn't allow him to do. It says, he who is born of God doesn't sin. But the one who was born of God, Jesus Christ, keeps him, and the evil one cannot touch him. God does not allow Satan to do anything that's outside of his will. And Satan can do nothing that God doesn't allow him to do. And everything that happens, happens for our good if we're called to the will of God. So what does this have to do with Romans? Well, in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, we're given an instruction before we go forward into the specific gifts. So the piece of Romans that we're going to look at today is Romans 12, 6a. It's the very first portion of that verse. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Remember, it was to different ones. Grace was given. It was measured out based on the gift from Christ. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Since we have different gifts, we're to exercise them. We're to put those things to work. One, we're to know what they are. You don't know what they are? You need to know. You're operating in the dark. You know, who gets in a car and says, okay, I'm going to such and such's house, and they don't know the way? You determine the way. You have to know what that gift is and what God has given it to you for. Then you have to recognize that it comes from Him. And if He gave it to you, you're going to account to Him for it. If somebody came, a superior at work or whatever, and they came and said, I'm going to give this money to you, and I'm going to trust you to wisely invest it while I'm gone. And when I return, I'm going to be looking for a return on my investment to you. We're given that information beforehand. Jesus is expecting a return on his investment. So if that's the case and we know that, then we need to be thinking about putting those things to work. And so in the same way, we need to put those, we need to be faithful with them. Like the pianist talked about, faithful in executing practice every day. You miss a day, the pianist was the one that noticed the difference because they know when they're out of sync. You miss a couple of days, then other people begin to know that you're out of sync. And when you're not yielded to the Holy Spirit and you're not bearing that fruit by abiding in Christ, you know it immediately because it's like there's an interruption between you and the Lord. I can tell when I come into my home, if I've done something to upset my wife, there's a barrier to that relationship. I can feel it. She doesn't have to say a single word, and I can feel it. She's not talking to me. I'm not hearing, hey, I'm glad you're home. No. The same token from the Lord, we get the same kind of scenario. Lord, I'm not hearing you. I'm in your word, but I'm not fulfilled. I'm having trouble. It's like eating oatmeal. You know, it's hard to chew, and it's not real flavorful. What's happened? What's happened is you've stepped outside of what God wants you to do. And so what you must do is you must seek forgiveness over whatever it is. And you may not even know what it is. Then your responsibility is to ask the Holy Spirit to show you, what is it that I've done wrong? And He will show it to you. His responsibility was to come and prepare the bride so that she would be ready for her bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And He will show you if you ask Him. A lot of times we don't want to ask Him, but we need to ask Him. He'll show it to you. And when He does, you make that right. Then that relationship is restored. Then those barriers are stripped away. And that intimate communication is there again. And you know it. I mean, you say to yourself, oh boy, I long for it. And it's important. If we don't have it, we should do everything that we can to restore it. Let me give you another verse over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. It says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay, we've been given these special gifts. If we don't put them to work, if we don't use them, not to our own abilities, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be harmed. And those who were to love and encourage and strengthen, they're not going to get the things that they need to be getting, the things that God has commanded us to give. This is not a request. This is a command. Employ it. Put it to work in serving one another as a good steward. No person who was ever unfaithful with the master's materials heard, "Well done, good and faithful servant." They don't hear that. There's a passage that talks about the faithful and wise servant who gives food to the servants at the proper time and lets them know the master is going to be returning. You need to make sure that you're prepared. A foolish servant says, "The master's not coming for a long time. Let's just have a good old party." And he begins to take advantage of the fellow servants and hang out with the kind of people that are undesirable. So that's a foolish slave. And he's not going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And you don't want to be linked up with a guy like that. You don't want to be associated or likened to a person like that. You want to be a faithful servant. And in the weeks ahead, as we look at these spiritual gifts and you determine through the Holy Spirit's leading what exactly it is that you have, what is it that the Lord has given me? Because He's given everyone a gift. Some He's given several. If He's given you several gifts, it's like the one that had five talents. And that parable was about each one according to his own ability. It's Matthew chapter 25. Each one according to their own ability. If one's been given five, God expected a 10 return. The one that was given two, God was well pleased with a 4 return. To the one that was given one, He was looking for two. He didn't get it. He got one. And He was very upset about getting one, getting back what He had given Him. The Lord has entrusted His Holy Spirit to us as a seed in our heart. We must strip off the old man of sin that gave its way to the desires of our flesh. We must be renewed in our minds, as you guys talked about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 today in Sunday school. And we must put on this new man, and we must grow into these gifts. You can't grow into that coat, that new man that you put on, but you can grow in it. You may not be able to bear a better quality of fruit, but you will bear more quantity of fruit. Everything that you do will be pleasing to the Lord if you submit to the Holy Spirit's leading and He leads you to be like Christ. That's all the key is. It's recognize that we have a victorious prince, that we have a valuable presentation, those gifts, and that there's vast power. Power to do what? To build up the body of Christ, to make everyone like Christ. That's the key. It's nothing blasphemous to say that we're to be like Christ. The Bible says to be like Christ. It says, "Be holy for your Father in heaven is holy. Be perfect as I am perfect." That's what the Bible says. That's not my words. That's what the Bible says. And if that's the case, then we need to be doing that. And if we're not exercising those gifts, we're in disobedience to Him. And when you're in disobedience to the Lord, chastening is what you can expect. That's not fun for a Christian. Chastening? I mean, no child ever enjoyed a good thrashing. Did you? No, of course. Children don't enjoy those kind of things. A child enjoys a rich relationship with their parents of love and nurture and care. Not take your beating. And every child that is submissive, when they're outside of where God wants them to be, and the parent comes to bring discipline, and they're submissive, and they're repentant, it always goes easier on them, doesn't it? It always goes easier. But if you fight and you struggle and you pull against the arm that's disciplining you, I think you're going to get more. I mean, it just stands to reason. God works that way. He wants us to learn quickly. So, a couple things. I want to encourage you that if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, begin to pray that the Lord would reveal that to you. Some of you may already know. Okay, begin to pray that the Lord would reveal that to you in the weeks ahead. Number two, thank Him for that gift. Very important that you express your appreciation for that. Number three, put it to work within the body of Christ, not in the quiet of your closet, not in the silence of your own little home. Put it to work within the body of Christ. If it's Christians at work, put it to work with Christians at work. If it's at church, do it at church. If it's at home, at home. Kids, if it's in school, do it in school. Learn about what God's gifted you with, and then show Him your obedience to Him, your love for Him, by bringing a return to Him. And children, you can have those gifts and the things that we talked about in the kids' time today, those gifts that God has given you, the abilities He's given you, you can use those and be pleasing to your Heavenly Father. You can do that. He's pleased when you obey Him. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time and Your Word today. I thank You for the Holy Spirit. I thank You that He does bring comfort, but not only that, He brings gifts. Gifts so that we can become more like Your Son, so that we can encourage others to be more like You. It's such a blessing that You've given us the gift of Your Word and that You are our teacher. Holy Spirit, I pray that we would never take that for granted. That we would be loving You. Jesus, that we'd be loving You. Father, that we would be loving You in all that we do and pleasing You in every way. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.